ready. I'm thirsty.
Welcome to Thirst Scriptural, a podcast making biblical truths plain. I'm your host, Cheryl Tyner, and today we're discussing Prepare to Fight. This podcast is meant to be a sip, a basic overview. Let's jump right in and begin with prayer. Lord, as we dig a little deeper, we stand against any distractions. Fine-tune listeners' ears to hear and open wide their hearts to receive. I decree and declare that listeners will receive revelation, light, or an aha moment. In Jesus' name, amen. For weeks, we have been discussing prayer. We discuss aligning our prayer with the Word, the recipe for a prayer life, linking up for prayer, waiting on God for answers to prayers, and prayer praise companion. Let me remind you that there is so much more, and these are only sips or basic overviews to prayer. My hope is that you, the listener, has begun to delve deeper into the Word of God. Reminder, there is not one person on this earth who has exhausted the revelation that is in any scripture. There is always more. Prayer is so very crucial to the believer's life. Prayer equals power. And if you neglect your prayer life, the devil is victorious. Therefore, do not give the enemy a foothold. Remember, the devil is not concerned if you go to church every Sunday, if you look at televangelists, or even if you listen to praise and worship consistently. What concerns him is when you are not only a hearer and doer of the word, but also when you are serious about your prayer life. Beware, a serious prayer life will cause the enemy to devise a serious plan for your defeat. Consider John 10 and 10a, the NLT version, which says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy." However, the second part of this verse is more promising. It says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." You see, in my mind, the second part of John 10 and 10, which describes God's purpose, lightens the load of the first part of the scripture, which is Satan's purpose. Ponder on this example. Joe spent 2 years in prison for shoplifting, but now he is a pastor who ministers to inmates on the weekend. Now, doesn't the second part of that example lighten the load of the first? I present this example because I don't want you to feel hopeless or intimidated. Because we know that the enemy is serious with devising your plan of defeat, we must be cognizant of the schemes and tactics of the enemy. 1 Peter 5 and 8, the NLT version, warns us and reads it such. "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Now, when I read 1 Peter 5 and 8, I picture a lion walking around slowly and very sneaky, watching and studying his prey. The lion sees a group of wildebeest grazing and notices one is pregnant, which means this one will not run as fast as the other wildebeest. The lion focuses on getting the pregnant wildebeest by studying her movements and distractions. There's another lion hiding close by so that when one pounces on the wildebeest, causing it to run, the other lion comes out of hiding to assist with the kill. Now, this is what I imagine when I read 1 Peter 5 and 8. Likewise, the enemy studies you, his prey, very closely and devises his plan of attack. Any area where you are weak, any negative words you speak, any ill behavior, any bleak thoughts. The enemy uses it to his advantage for your attack. Remember, John 10:10 says, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when you put on your undergarments, it is to protect your body from the environment and clothing abrasion. Likewise, the Apostle Paul urges the church in the book of Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves from the strategies and tricks of the enemy. Prepare for war. Let me start by saying, if you are in a war and don't realize you are in a war, more than likely, you are going to get wounded. Additionally, if you are in a war and you don't know who the enemy is, then you are working at a disadvantage and will be defeated. So let's dissect Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 17. We will be using the NIV version. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, verse 11, Paul is telling the church to put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand safely to the strategies and plots of the enemy. Verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Verse 12 is reminding us that we are not fighting against human beings, but against Satan and his cronies. Evil spirits need a body to operate, and we allow these spirits to operate through us when we yield. We will discuss this later. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Verse 13 is reiterating to use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy attack. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth and with the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14 tells you to put on the belt of truth. The word of God is truth. John 8:32 says that the truth will set you free. However, it is only the truth that you know that will set you free. Study the word regarding your challenge or issue and put your voice to work. Verse 14 continues with saying to use the breastplate of righteousness. When I think of a breastplate, I think of protection of your heart. Proverbs 4:23, the NLT version says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 15 is a reminder of what Christ has done for us. And because of this, we should have peace. John 16:33 says that in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart because God has overcome the world. Psalm 34:14 says to seek peace and pursue it. Verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 16 speaks on the shield of faith. A shield is a piece of metal that protects one from blows. Use your faith and God's word as a shield to protect you from your issues and challenges. In other words, the enemy's fiery darts. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 17 is the helmet of salvation, which is to avoid sinful or corrupt thoughts. Now keep your thoughts on God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 tells us to take your thoughts captive. This means choosing what you allow to take root in your mind. You cannot prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent a bird from making a nest. Verse 17 continues and ends with, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon that is used to fight in a spiritual war. All other weapons are defensive. In the book of Hebrews, the word of God is compared as a double-edged sword. A double-edged sword has both ends sharpened instead of one. Thus, it is much easier for it to cut and penetrate. Hebrews 4 and 12, the CEV version says, "God's word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. His word can cut through our spirits, our souls, through joints and marrow, until it discovers the desires and thoughts of our hearts." It is good to be prepared and equipped for battle every day we wake up. Only the whole armor of God can help us stand against the enemy's schemes. Each armor part serves a particular purpose and is designed for defense or offense. Putting on the full armor makes us completely ready for any attacks. Now, when we talk about spiritual war, the enemy devising plans of attack, or preparing to fight, it can be intimidating. However, have no fear, because we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from a place of victory. Remember, Jesus has already won the battle for us. Amen. At the end of each podcast session, I want to remind each listener of two scriptures. Hebrews 2 and 1, the NIV version, says, "We must pay the most careful attention to what we have just heard so that we do not drift away." And 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, the NIV version says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You've been listening to Thirst with Cheryl. We look forward to you joining us again next week for more biblical truths made plain and simple.